At Haverford, when it was founded, there were sort of three basic areas of the collection, and science was one of them. And this is the heyday of the developments in science, when science was thought to be not only an activity that was going to improve our condition, but it was an activity that was thought to improve the intellect and improve the social abilities of the people who study it. Consequently, all students at Haverford had to deal with science in some capacity, though what that science was varied. There's mathematics and there's surveying and a handful of other activities that were stipulated by the curriculum. However, in front of you, what you have are some examples of books that come out of this early collection that don't map on easily to the stipulated curriculum. There are two, the two that I want to start with are sort of classics in science at the time. The first is the Marcel Malpighi, which is there in the center of the case, opened up showing you the head of a silkworm. This book was one of the early treatises on microscopy, and Malpighi was a forerunner in this activity. Indeed, his treatise on the silkworm was a seminal work that was reprinted a number of times, and any good library that claimed to know something about science would have to have this book. What's interesting about the next book I want to point to, these two books on microscopy, the second one is Adam's book. Adam's book is a textbook. It's written and printed 130 years later. And what you begin to see is the success that microscopy has produced. Here we have, instead of the head of a silkworm, what we're looking at are cross sections of sugar cane. And you can see just how much the resolving power of microscopes has improved, and how much more detail they're able to uncover. This drive to use the microscope and put everything under the lens of the microscope has continued for more than a century. Haverford's College recognized that these two types of books would be a necessary part of any scientific curriculum, whether stipulated in the classroom or just part of the larger collection. Now, below that, we begin to move from the natural history or observation to mathematics, or the application of mathematics to the natural world. And here we have Poisson's book on capillary action. What's particularly interesting about this text is the way that Poisson has attacked a problem that had confronted scientists for a number of years, and that is, how do you explain capillary action? And Poisson, who was an unbelievably good mathematician, has brought his powers of mathematical analysis to this problem. And that's what we see open now before us, is a rather daunting looking set of equations where he tries to describe the capillary action of fluids. The last of the books is, again, it's more of a textbook than the other three have been. It's Gummery's book on surveying. Now, surveying was a stipulated part of the curriculum, perhaps unsurprisingly, since Gummery was one of the key figures at the college at the time. This book, printed in 1814, is a standard textbook on the practice of surveying. It's divided into sections, introducing various aspects, trigonometric analysis, providing theorems and propositions, and then, as with any good textbook, it has a number of problems that the students or the reader was intended to work out. The page that is open in front of you is interesting because it shows that somebody was indeed working through these problems. You will note the fourth example. It says, required the area of an elliptical fish pond, the longer diameter of which is 10 perches and the shorter 5 perches. Answer, 39.37 square per, presumably perches. The person who owned this book at least made it to page 102 in working through the problems, because he has corrected what was surely just a typographical error, but he's corrected the answer to say that the proper or the correct response is 39.27 perches. Interesting because it sets up something of a challenge for our current students to work this carefully through their own textbooks, finding the errors perhaps of their own devising or perhaps at the help of their faculty mentors.